Abridged Sermons for All the Sundays of the Year by St. Alphonsus Maria de Liguori, Doctor of the Church. Edited by Father Eugene Grimm. Copyright 1890. Sermon for the First Sunday of Lent. The number of sins beyond which God pardons no more. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, St. Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. In this day's gospel, we read that, having gone into the desert, Jesus Christ permitted the devil to set him upon the pinnacle of the temple and say to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for the angels shall preserve thee from all injury. But the Lord answered that in the sacred scriptures it is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The sinner who abandoned himself to sin without striving to resist temptations or without at least asking God's help to conquer them and hopes that the Lord will one day draw him from the precipice tempts God to work miracles, or rather, to show to him an extraordinary mercy not extended to the generality of Christians. God, as the apostle says, will have all men to be saved. But he also wishes us all to labor for our own salvation, at least by adopting the means of overcoming our enemies and of obeying him when he calls us to repentance. Sinners hear the calls of God, but they forget them and continue to offend him. But God does not forget them. He numbers the graces which he dispenses, as well as the sins which we commit. Hence, when the time which he has fixed arrives, God deprives us of his graces and begins to inflict chastisement. I intend to show in this discourse that when sins reach a certain number, God pardons no more. Be attentive. St. Basil, St. Jerome, St. John Chrysostom, St. Augustine, and other fathers teach that, as God, according to the words of the Scripture, Thou hast ordered all things in measure and number and weight, as fixed for each person the number of the days of his life, and the degrees of health and talent which he will give him, so he has also determined for each the number of sins which he will pardon, and when this number is completed, he will pardon no more. It is expedient for us to believe, says St. Augustine, that every one of us will be tolerated by God's patience, and that after this, there will be no pardon in reserve for us. Eusebius of Caesarea says, God waits up to a certain number, then he forsakes us. The same doctrine is taught by the above-mentioned fathers. The Lord hath sent me to heal the contrite of heart. God is ready to heal those who sincerely wish to amend their lives, but cannot take pity on the obstinate sinner. The Lord pardons sins, but he cannot pardon those who are determined to offend him, nor can we demand from God a reason why he pardons 100 sins and takes others out of life and sends them to hell after 3 or 4 sins. By the prophet Amos, God has said, For 3 kinds of Damascus, and for 4 I will not convert it. In this we must adore the judgments of God, and say with the apostle, O the depths of the riches, of the wisdom, and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgment! He who receives pardon, says St. Augustine, is pardoned through the pure mercy of God, and they who are chastised are justly punished. How many has God sent to hell for the first offense? St. Gregory relates that a child of 5 years, who had arrived at the use of reason, for having uttered a blasphemy, was seized by the devil and carried to hell. The Divine Mother revealed to that great servant of God, Benedicta of Florence, that a boy of 12 years was damned after the first sin. Another boy of 8 years died after his first sin and was lost. You say, I am young. There are many who have committed more sins than I have. But is God on that account obliged to wait for your repentance if you offend him? In the Gospel of St. Matthew, we read that the Savior cursed a fig tree the first time he saw it without fruit. May no more fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And immediately the fig tree withered away. You must, then, tremble at the thought of committing a single mortal sin, particularly if you have already been guilty of mortal sins. Be not without fear about sins forgiven, and add not sin to sin. Say not, then, O sinner, as God has forgiven me other sins, so he will pardon me this one if I commit it. Say not this, for if to the sin which has been forgiven you add another, you have reason to fear that this new sin will be united to your former guilt, and that thus the number will be completed, and that you shall be abandoned. Behold how the Scriptures unfold this truth more clearly in another passage. The Lord patiently expecteth that when the day of judgment shall come, he may punish them in the fullness of sins. God waits with patience until a certain number of sins is committed, but when the measure of guilt is filled up, he waits no longer, but chastises the sinner. Thou hast sealed up my offenses, as it were, in a bag. Sinners multiply their sins without keeping any account of them, but God numbers them that when the harvest is ripe, that is, when the number of sins is completed, he may take vengeance on them. Put ye in the sickles, for the harvest is ripe. Of these there are many examples in the Scriptures. Speaking of the Hebrews, the Lord in one place says, all the men that have tempted me now 10 times shall not see the land. In another place he says that he restrained his vengeance against the Amorites because the number of their sins was not completed. For as yet the iniquities of the Amorites are not at the full. We have again the example of Saul, who, after having disobeyed God a second time, was abandoned. He entreated Samuel to interpose before the Lord in his behalf. Bear, I beseech thee, my sin, and return with me, that I may adore the Lord. But knowing that God had abandoned Saul, Samuel answered, I will not return with thee, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee. Saul, you have abandoned God, and he has abandoned you. We have another example, Balthazar, who, after having profaned the vessels of the temple, saw a handwriting on the wall, Mane Thechel Phares. Daniel was requested to expound the meaning of these words. In explaining the word Thechel, he said to the king, thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. By this explanation, he gave the king to understand that the weight of his sins in the balance of divine justice had made the scale descend. The same night, Balthazar, the Chaldean king, was killed. Oh, how many sinners have met with a similar fate, continuing to offend God till their sins amounted to a certain number, they have been struck dead and sent to hell. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to hell. Tremble, brethren, lest if you commit another mortal sin, God should cast you into hell. If God chastised sinners the moment they insult him, we should not see him so much despised. But because he does not instantly punish their transgressions, and because, through mercy, he restrains his anger and waits for their return, they are encouraged to continue to offend him. For because sentence is not speedily pronounced against evil, the children of men commit evil without any fear. But it is necessary to be persuaded that, though God bears with us, he does not wait nor bear with us forever. Expecting, as on former occasions, to escape from the snares of the Philistines, Samson continued to allow himself to be deluded by Dalia. I will go out as I did before and shake myself. But the Lord was departed from him. Samson was at last taken by his enemies and lost his life. The Lord warns you not to say, I have committed so many sins, and God has not chastised me. Say not, I have sinned, and what harm hath befallen me? For the Most High is a patient rewarder. God has patience for a certain time, after which he punishes the first and last sins. And the greater has been his patience, the more severe his vengeance. Hence, according to St. John Chrysostom, God is more to be feared when he bears with sinners than when he instantly punishes their sins. And why? Because, says St. Gregory, they to whom God has shown more mercy shall, if they do not cease to offend him, be chastised with the greatest rigor. The saint adds that God often punishes such sinners with a sudden death and does not allow them time for repentance. And the greater the light which God gives to certain sinners for their correction, the greater is their blindness and obstinacy in sin. For it had better for them not to have known the way of justice than, after having known it, to turn back. Miserable the sinners who, after having been enlightened, return to the vomit. St. Paul says that it is morally impossible for them to be again converted. For it is impossible for those who were once illuminated, have tasted also the heavenly gifts, and are fallen away to be renewed again to penance. Listen then, O sinner, to the admonition of the Lord. My son, hast thou sinned? Do so no more, but for thy former sins pray that they may be forgiven thee. Son, add not sins to those which you have already committed, but be careful to pray for the pardon of your past transgressions. Otherwise, if you commit another mortal sin, the gates of the divine mercy may be closed against you, and your soul may be lost forever. When, then, beloved brethren, the devil tempts you again to yield to sin, say to yourself, if God pardons me no more, what shall become of me for all eternity? Should the devil in reply say, fear not, God is merciful, answer him by saying, what certainty or what probability have I that if I return again to sin, God will show me mercy or grant me pardon? Behold the threat of the Lord against all who despise his calls. Behold, I have called, and you refused. I also will laugh in your destruction, and will mock when that shall come to you which you feared. Mark the words, I also. They mean that, as you have mocked the Lord by betraying him again after your confession and promises of amendment, so he will mock you at the hour of death. I will laugh and will mock. But God is not mocked. As a dog, says a wise man, that returneth to his vomit, so is the fool that repeateth his folly. Dennis the Carthusian gives an excellent exposition of this text. He says that, as a dog that eats what he has just vomited is an object of disgust and abomination, so the sinner who returns to the sins which he has detested and confessed becomes hateful in the sight of God. Oh, folly of sinners! If you purchase a house, you spare no pains to get all the securities necessary to guard against the loss of your money. If you take medicine, you are careful to assure yourself that it cannot injure you. If you pass over a river, you cautiously avoid all danger of falling into it. And for a transitory enjoyment, for the gratification of revenge, for a beastly pleasure, which lasts but a moment, you risk your eternal salvation, saying, "I will go to confession after I commit this sin." And when, I ask, are you to go to confession? You say, "Tomorrow." But who promises you tomorrow? Who assures you that you shall have time for confession and that God will not deprive you of life, as he has deprived so many others, in the act of sin? Are you sure of a whole day? Says St. Augustine. You cannot be sure of an hour. You cannot be certain of living for another hour, and you say, "I will go to confession tomorrow." Listen to the words of St. Gregory. He who has promised pardon to penitents has not promised tomorrow to sinners. God has promised pardon to all who repent, but he has not promised to wait till tomorrow for those who insult him. Perhaps God will give you time for repentance. Perhaps he will not. But should he not give it, what shall become of your soul? In the meantime, for the sake of a miserable pleasure, you lose the grace of God and expose yourself to the danger of being lost forever. Would you, for such transient enjoyments, risk your money, your honor, your possessions, your liberty, and your life? No, you would not. How then does it happen that, for a miserable gratification, you lose your soul, heaven, and God? Tell me, do you believe that heaven, hell, eternity are truths of faith? Do you believe that, if you die in sin, you are lost forever? Oh, what temerity, what folly is it to condemn yourself voluntarily to an eternity of torment for the hope of afterwards reversing the sentence of your condemnation? No one, says St. Augustine, wishes to become sick with the hope of becoming well. No one can be found so foolish as to take poison with the hope of preventing its deadly effect by adopting the ordinary remedies. And you will condemn yourself to hell, saying that you expect to be afterwards preserved from it? Oh, folly, which, in conformity with the divine threats, has brought and brings every day so many to hell. Thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and evil shall come upon thee, and thou shalt not know the rising thereof. You have sinned, trusting rashly in the divine mercy. The punishment of your guilt shall fall suddenly upon you, and you shall not know from whence it comes. What do you say? What resolution do you make? If, after this sermon, you do not firmly resolve to give yourself to God, I weep over you and regard you as lost. Amen.